P3, Sveriges Radio.
Ridpodden med Ulrika Lindqvist. Nu ska det handla om att lösa problem och hur man undviker att hamna i farliga situationer med hästen. Jag har åkt för att träffa John Ricketts som jobbar med att förbättra kommunikationen mellan hästägare och häst.
My work is to help horses and people have a better life. To have more understanding, to be safer. Because everybody wants to be safe. The horse wants to be safe. My job is to get people to think a little different and then they will behave a little different and then the horse will make the change.
Jag bad om att få träffa dig för att göra det här avsnittet av Ridpodden just för att fokusera på de situationerna som vi som håller på med hästar ofta hamnar i. Där det blir problem, där kommunikationen inte fungerar och det kanske rent av är risk att det blir farligt. För det är ju du specialiserad på. Och jag ska säga det att vi kommer blanda svenska och engelska i det här programmet därför att du pratar engelska. Jag kommer ställa frågorna på svenska och så hoppas vi att det är okej för den som lyssnar, helt enkelt. Eller hur?
No problem.
Alltså, vilka är egentligen de vanligaste situationerna skulle du säga där kommunikationen mellan människa och häst inte fungerar?
Well, you know, I get a lot of people that they contact me because they have a problem in the trailer. And obviously, if you know, you can't get the horse in the trailer, you can't go training, you know, you can't go competitions and you can't even sell the horse because obviously it can't go in the trailer. And also then it becomes a really a dangerous situation where the horse really reacts big and it becomes really dangerous for the horse and the people. So usually when it's dramatic, then people ring me.
Men vad är det just i situationen med lastning och trailer släpet tror du som gör att saker ställs på sin spets? Alltså varför blir det så mycket problem i just den specifika situationen?
It'll be that way because obviously that we can avoid putting pressure on the horse by going around a lot of stuff, but suddenly when you come to the trailer you can't go around it and in it at the same time. You know, you can't avoid the pressure. So then, you know, it's always a test because when you get there, it's not that the horse reacts, it's if you have anything to say to the horse to listen and get him to understand. Because it doesn't really matter, you know, it's 90% of the, 99% of the horses that I go and help in the trailer, it's a fear thing. So, you know, the worst thing you can ever do to a horse is put him in a small space, confined his escape route, and then it makes a lot of noise when they're in there. So obviously the horse, you know, he sees the trailer and he turns around and says to people, are you crazy? I'm never going in there and dying. Then we don't have anything to say to him. And then it just, the horse reacts, does, you know, the horse reacts and not thinking. And then the human, because we have no plan, we don't think, we just react. So in the end, we have two lunatics running around outside the trailer and usually one ends up bleeding and then you go home. So I think it's more that you can't avoid the situation.
Och vad är det om man ska vara lite specifik? Vad är det som kan bli farligt?
Well, obviously for the horse, that his instinct to survive is so strong. That's why he survives, you know, since the dinosaur times. You know, we've domesticated him for 6,000 years and we haven't managed to kill every single one, which is pretty amazing, all the things that we ask him to do. So it's basically that you know, the horse, whatever the horse does, he doesn't do it to be mean. He just he doesn't think, he just reacts. So obviously the horse can rear up, he can run over you, you know, he can kick, he can panic, and you get, you know, people get stuck between the bar and the horse, and I've seen people go to put the thing on the back and the horse kicks and that hits him in the face. And so it's the same as everything. If you ask the horse to do a level 10 and you don't prepare him, then the horse will always behave like a horse.
Ditt jobb, det är ju då, du åker runt och hjälper olika personer som ber dig om hjälp, helt enkelt, att hitta en bättre kommunikation. Hur har du hamnat här? Alltså, hur kommer det sig att det här är ditt jobb? Kan du berätta lite om din bakgrund med hästar?
Oh my god, here we go. I started with horses when I was 7 years old. And it was just one of them pure chance things that my dad had a friend and one of his children had a birthday. And we went to the local riding school and I was hooked. And then
varför då? Vad var det som fångade dig?
Probably I found something that I really enjoyed and I was okay at. You know, I mean, I had a hard time in school because, you know, they didn't find out till I was 13 that I was dyslexic. So I had a pretty tough time there and stuff. And I think with the horses, it's the same as everybody, really. You have a purer connection. Because like I said before, they don't really have an agenda or an ego. So for me, it was just a place where I could be. You know, and then I ended up having four or five ponies and, you know, doing the usual stuff with the show jumping and gymkhanas and hunting and, you know, eventing. And then when I left school when I was 15 and I went to work with racehorses in Newmarket. And I was, you know, when I left school when I was 15, I was a pretty small guy. But unfortunately, I grew very quickly. So then at 18, I went to work for the steeplechase horses in Lambourne. And I worked there for a few years and riding. And then I just got disillusioned. I just got fed up. So then I went traveling and I ended up in Sweden. And I met my wife. And then I got educated as a hoofslager because I come to the conclusion that I didn't really want to sit on a horse for fun in the woods, bouncing off trees with no control unless I got paid for it. And I'd always ask the question why, but I never met anybody who could answer me. You know, that's the way racehorses are, or that's the way Arabs are, or that's the way show jumping horses are, or nobody could really answer the questions. You know, why does a horse do that? So I sort of gave up on the riding and the horse side. I was, you know, like I said, I was just shoeing. And then my wife, Lena, she went on a clinic and she came back and she was saying, oh, the guy was saying this and that and the other. And I thought, that sounds really interesting. So we took one of Lena's horses there and he worked the horse in the round pen. And it was like after 10 minutes, he had more connection with our horse than, you know, we'd had for years. And we'd tried, you know, pussy, axe murderer, bribery, you know, we tried every single gadgets. And it was, you know, I always say to people, it was the best day of my life and it was the worst day of my life. I didn't understand what the guy did. I didn't have a clue. But I understood that the best day was because it was hallelujah. I can find somebody who can give me some answers. The worst day was, oh my God, it's up to me now. I can't go around and call my horse stupid any longer or blame my horse. I have to take the responsibility. And I went and stayed with this guy for a couple of weeks and then I came home and built my round pen and just dragged any poor horse that passed the place and chased them around until they were completely, you know, and then Lena used to have to go in and catch him because I made so many mistakes. And then gradually people started to hear and then they used to ring and I used to go and, you know, just I'm that type of person that is 100% or no percent. So I'm totally obsessed with this.
Men om vi ska försöka förklara vad det är du gör. För du har ju ett system, det kan man väl säga. Och det kanske är svårt att gå igenom hela det så här i ett avsnitt. Men om man ska försöka förklara liksom grundprinciperna i hur du jobbar, hur skulle du börja då?
Well, number one priority is always safety. So I always say to people that my golden rule is mustn't get killed when I'm with the horse and I mustn't kill the horse. And that's very, very important to me. So then I try to explain people in a way that, you know, we're trying to create this society because the horse is a horse and I am human. I'm never going to be a horse. He's never, you know, he doesn't want to be human. So the idea is that we need to create a place that I can be and the horse can be and we can both get what we want. So the idea to create in this society is to have as less misunderstanding as possible, because obviously the less misunderstanding you have, the safer you are, and the more things you can do. And then everything is preparation for what you're going to expect him to be able to do, because the horse knows how to be a horse, but he doesn't know how to be a horse in horse society. So we need to teach him that if the tractor comes, he doesn't have to self-destruct for it. You know, if we put him in the trailer, it's going to be okay, and so on and so on and so on. So the way I explain it is that, you know, the horse's natural instincts, he has option A, B, or C. So depending on the situation, depend what the horse has been taught before, is that he has option A, which is to run, option B, which is to fight, and option C, which is not to move the feet at all. Okay? So I ask people, what option would you like your horse to do? And they say, well, I don't want him to do A, I don't want him to do B, I don't want him to do C. So that tells us that we need to, for the horse to have a different option, and that's option D. Option D is, even if you misunderstand, please listen and be soft. Even if you don't want to, please listen and soft. Even if you're scared, please listen and be soft. So the horse learns by whatever I stop on, that behavior that he will do. So if he stops on A or B or C or D, he doesn't care which one. He just cares that when we stop, he gets to feel comfortable and survive the experience.
Du lyssnar på Ridpodden från Sveriges Radio.
När du säger att du vill att hästen ska stanna upp, reagera, alltså reagera på det som händer, en be soft. Vad menar du med en be soft? Kan du utveckla, alltså vad lägger du in, vad betyder det? Be soft.
So what happens when the horse reacts, obviously he goes very stiff in the body. When he goes stiff in the body, we lose control. The reason why he's stiff in the body is because obviously that he's reacting and not thinking. So I can't train the horse not to react, but I can train the horse to listen. So if the horse reacts and he listens to me directly and be soft, then his body and feet and mind are going in the direction I would like. If not, then he's doing what he thinks is best. Does that make sense to you?
Jo, absolut. Men det låter så självklart då att så här, man vill hela tiden komma fram till alternativ D. Men har man att göra med en häst där det är riktigt knepigt, så kan det ju vara, liksom, kan ju vara svårt att se vägen fram dit. Men hur börjar du? Liksom? Vad är det första du gör när du möter en ny häst?
Ja, one of the first things I do, I start to teach the horse what my word is to go backwards. Whatever happens, if I ask you to back away, you back away. Because if the horse gets scared, if I can back him away, I'm safe. If he gets aggressive, if I can back him away, I'm safe. Also, I can change his emotions and get a different response, a different behavior. And then basically, obviously, then what I have to do before I ask him to do anything, if I can't move around him without him having a heart attack, then it's going to be very hard for me to teach him anything, because obviously I have to move, touch, wait, use my equipment. So if he's terrified if I move my stick, then obviously it's going to be very hard to teach him. If he's terrified if I just move, then obviously it makes it impossible for him to learn what I would like him to learn. I have a program that I go through, a checklist. So it's just like a pilot. Like, you don't take off until you know that the plane is safe, because a lot of people, they get on horses and then they haven't done their checklist, and then they think, oh my God, we're going to crash. So basically I go through and I teach the horse that whatever happens, he can go around me but never over me. Also, then I see, is the horse more sensitive to things that he sees, things that he hears, or things that he touches? Is he more reactive in front, on the left side or the right side, or back or underneath or on top? So I go through this checklist to see where he is. So basically I'm just trying to set him up, so when we come to the point that we start to, move the shoulder, move the hip forwards and backwards, is that when I move, instead of him going, oh my God, I'm going to die, he starts to go, I wonder what that means. That's the habit that we're trying to create.
Och det här du säger, jag vill att hästen ska stanna på något av de här alternativen. Jag vill att hästen ska stanna på alternativ D, det vill säga reagera, men vara soft. Yeah. Det här med att stanna, är det då... Är det liksom under ett pågående skeende då? När du övar någonting med hästen, utsätter hästen för någonting, liksom för att provocera fram, eller vad man ska säga, en reaktion. När är det du menar det här med att stanna?
Yeah, I hate the word that you provoke him. I like the word that we expose him to things that he is going to be exposed to in the real world, you know. And then the horse reacts. And then if we stop on A, he gets good at A. But if we stop on D, he gets good at D. So then it becomes a really good habit for me to ask and the horse to listen. Because, you know, it's what happens is we either train the horse, we can train the horse mechanically or emotionally. And basically what that means is that if I train the horse mechanically, he does everything I want until he gets under pressure and then I lose control. If it's emotionally, is that when the horse reacts, he listens to me directly and be soft. That's the difference. Because basically the only time it's really important that the horse ever listens to me is when he's under pressure. So the pressure can be something that he sees, something that he hears, something that comes in different positions to his body, or something that he hears. When we're in the real world, we have no control on what he sees, what he hears, how fast it comes. But when we expose him to things in a controlled environment, then we can, and then it's safe. Because when we train him in a controlled environment, he has no cars to hit, he has no trees to hit, fences to go through. When he's in the real world, then obviously it's a lot more dangerous. But we don't train the horse not to be afraid of the press ending or the stick or the, it can be a mop, it can be a big banana, it doesn't really matter. We're not training the horse not to be afraid. We're training the horse how to listen and be soft. So basically, we're building a foundation.
Vad kallar du det du håller på med? Är det, för vissa säger så här, oh, John Ricketts, han är så här NH-snubbe. Mm. Är det korrekt, tycker du?
No. I call it John Ricketts horse development. The reason why I call that is because the problem is that everything gets put in a box. So if I say natural horsemanship, if somebody's been to see somebody else, they, you know, people make assumptions very quickly. They say in the first 5 seconds that you meet somebody, you already made an assumption. So I really try to keep it open, because anytime you put yourself in a box, you take away the possibility that you can change. So obviously that I don't do the same as anybody else, and I don't do, you know, people don't do the same as me. So it's very individual on what you think and how you behave and what your philosophy is and stuff. So I hate to put it in a box, because then people say, oh, natural horsemanship. And then they go, oh, they're just them Western people. And, oh, the horses are too calm. And, oh, the, you know, and so on and so on. That's not what I do. What I do is get people to think differently, so they behave differently. And, you know, the end goal is to have a safe horse who is soft and listening. So it doesn't matter if you show jumping dressage. I mean, I help people who show jump. I help people who dressage. I help people with Icelandic horses, race horses in the start boxes, trodden horse. I mean, every single horse is basically the same.
Men jag menar, du förklarar sättet som du jobbar med hästar på och liksom, den här reaktionen som vi vill ha, reaktion D, det vill säga hästen ska inte fly och den ska inte frysa fast och den ska inte, vad är det tredje?
Fight.
Den ska inte attackera eller slåss. Men om man tänker ändå då, många av de hästar som, ja, men som det är problem med idag, de är ju rädda för väldigt... Ja, men det kan ju vara små saker. En plastpåse, eller att det är liksom någon smäller lite hårdare i läktardörren, så är det katastrof liksom. Hur har vi hamnat här?
Well, I mean obviously that you know, horses are born scared to death. The extreme ones are born with a lot of fear. The less extreme ones have less fear. So obviously less fear, less reaction. Or, you know, my idea is that obviously that in his own environment it doesn't matter. But if I'm going to bring him into my world, in my environment, I need to have him to be brave. I don't tell the horse that he can't react. I just say, when he does react, could you please listen to me? Basically, that's what we're going for. Because, you know, it comes back to our safety. Also, I think now, you know, especially with the dressage horses, that, you know, we start to put a lot more thoroughbred in them, because obviously they want the energy. Unfortunately, energy comes with fear. So if you get it, you know, they're either a dream or a nightmare, because I go to a lot of these horses. So if they're a dream, that means is that the energy is being used when we would like it. And they're the type of horses that will go all day, gallop all day, change leads all day. So if it's a nightmare, then the horses that when they really rear up. When they buck, they really buck. You know, when they throw themselves, they really throw themselves. You know what I mean? So it's either a dream or a nightmare.
Du lyssnar på Ridpodden från Sveriges Radio.
Men hur många av dem som du träffar har hunnit bli rädda på riktigt för sin häst?
Yeah, quite a lot. Quite a lot.
Går det att ändra på?
Some people do, some people don't. Because it's not so much about the horse, it's about the individual person. It's about the psychology of the person. So, you know, I always say on a clinic, you know, put your hand up if you haven't been afraid. And the people who don't put the hand up, then I say, well, you must be a liar. You know what I mean? It's not that you have fear, it's how you handle the fear. Because everybody's been frightened one time or another, or insecure one time or another. It's how you handle that situation. Because it's either going to make you better or worse. Because every time you're with the horse, situations are always going to come. You know, I can, it doesn't matter how much I train the horse, I can be galloping across the field and he can put his foot down a hole and fall on top of me. You know, but stupid things shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be that I go to stroke him and he gets scared and thinks he, you know, he needs to do something. Or, you know, I put him in the trailer and he jumps over the beam because he's frightened and on top of me. Or, you know, he hears a noise and starts to buck me off. Or, you know, I ask him to go forward one step and he rears up and falls over backwards. Or that sort of stuff is, you know, not necessary. Mm. But, you know, I've had a few people that, you know, we've worked the horse. The horse is really, really good. You know, and I say to the lady or the guy, you do realize that you never have to ride this horse again if you don't want to. We can get a new horse. There's no right or wrong. You hear a lot of people go, oh, yeah, but you have to continue. You shouldn't give up and blah, blah, blah. But it's like if it's making you sad, if it's making you depressed, if it's making you frustrated, if you're scared, if you're insecure, then what's the point?
Men du kallar dem extrema hästar, extreme horses, yeah. De svåra. Finns det farliga hästar enligt dig?
I mean, you know, I've had horses try to attack me and stuff. 99% of aggressive horses, they're scared horses. When you take away the fear, the behavior goes. You know. So when I talk about extreme horses, an extreme horse is a horse that when he reacts very big for a long time. Basically, that's an extreme horse. Because, you know, if the horse only went, oh, okay, it's okay, we can manage that. But if, you know, if he starts to run or buck or rear or do the stuff that they do and he don't stop for 10 minutes, then it becomes really scary and really dangerous. So when I talk about extreme horses, that's an extreme horse.
Du har nämnt så här, en lista som många har, att det är liksom vad jag kan göra med min häst och sen vad min häst inte tycker om. Mm. Om man nu lyssnar på det här och liksom rannsakar sig själv och känner att jag har faktiskt saker på den här listan med grejer som jag undviker. Jag har anpassat min ridning, jag rider inte på utebanan när det blåser eller jag lägger inte på täcket på det här sättet fastän det egentligen vore smidigare eller så. För att jag vill undvika någon form av explosion. Vad borde man göra om man känner att man är liksom på väg åt fel håll?
I think, you know, like we talked about today, that to start to think, you know, what are my rules? What do I really want in the beginning? Obviously that you should never do anything that's going to make you unsafe. So just because, you know, people think you should ride in the outside arena, if you haven't done your work, never ever put yourself in a dangerous situation. You know, I can honestly say that, you know, get help from other people. You know, there's a lot of good people out there as well. But it all begins with a thinking that you actually wouldn't it be nice if I could stand outside the trailer and my horse would walk in there and be really calm and soft and I can just close and drive away? You know, wouldn't it be nice that I could sleep the night before a competition because I'm so nervous? Is it going to take 10 minutes or is it going to take an hour for him to go in the trailer? You know, and so on and so on. So like I said before, you know, the reason why the hospital isn't full of, you know, crazy horse people is because, you know, we're smart enough to realize that if I put myself and the horse in that situation, something bad's going to happen. So it all begins to look for knowledge, basically. You know, I mean, I read everything I can. I watch a lot of stuff. You know, if I ever get a chance to watch other trainers, I always go and see, you know, every time, you know, I study, I watch. And it's to have that drive, that, you know, to look for knowledge. I'm blessed to do what I do, and, you know, and to be this passionate. You know, I've been doing this for a very, very long time now, and I'm still as passionate, you know, as today as I am. You know, and I just talk. You know, I really want everybody to get it, and I really want, you know, something good to come out of it, and you know what I mean.
Tusen tack till dig, John Ricketts, för att vi fick träffa dig idag.
Thank you very much.
Vi nämner ju National Horsemanship, NH, i det här programmet. Och för dig som blir nyfiken på det så finns det ett avsnitt där Lisbeth Börjesson Jonsson diskuterar sitt sätt att se på hästhantering ihop med Lisen Bratt Fredriksson. Lyssna gärna på det.
P3, Sveriges Radio.
P3.